You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
I have a question for you today, and it's a pretty simple one. What are you afraid of right now? And I want you to think about that. I don't want you to just let that question roll over you. I want you to think of what is something that if you were to lie awake at night, that would keep you awake. And there's a lot of options right now. One would be the fear of catching the virus. That would be a perfectly understandable fear. It could be for friends or family who are frontline workers right now. Could be, as I've talked to a lot of people about what's going on, it could be fear of the economic impact. Or it could be fear of the second wave. What if we open things up and things get worse? Well, I don't want to keep giving you ideas. It feels like it would be silly to feed you ideas of possible fears that you could have. But I want to pause for a minute and ask you to think of what is keeping you awake at night right now, or what has you concerned about your future. So I'm just going to pause and give you a minute to think about that. Okay, did anybody have a hard time thinking of something to be afraid of? Raise your hand if you couldn't think of anything. Most of us have no problem thinking about things to be afraid of. And here's the thing about fear. It's perfectly understandable. In fact, if you're not afraid sometimes, it could be that there's something wrong with you. Shar and I watched a movie about the guy who free soloed up a mountain in Yosemite and basically had no fear. And the only conclusion we could draw is there's something wrong with that guy. Like, you need to be afraid doing that. Fear is an emotion, and emotions are one of God's good gifts to us. As somebody has said, the full spectrum of emotion is our design and should be acknowledged and expressed in healthy ways. So today, I don't want to be down on you for having fear. Fear is good. It's appropriate. If you're not sometimes afraid, then you're not enjoying one of God's gifts that he's given to us. But here's the thing about fear. It can be a gift. Sometimes it's very appropriate to be afraid, but it can also be something that's a handicap. It can be something that holds you back. It can be something that contributes to your well-being if handled properly, or it could alert you in a good way to things that matter that you need to pay attention to and resolve in a healthy way. But fear can also harm you. If you don't manage your fear well, it can become a doorway to anxiety. It can begin to paralyze you and affect your emotional health. Fear is really a window, a doorway into the things that matter most to us. And it can reveal things about us that are hard to admit. A few years ago, I had to come to grips with the fact that I was actually struggling with fear. And it was if somebody had said, "What are you afraid of?" I would have said, "I'm not afraid of anything really, other than, you know, like if you dangled me over a cliff, but I'm not really afraid of anything." And I discovered that I was afraid of a conflict, a particular conflict. So if you're afraid, and I had to work through that and get to a healthy place. If you're afraid, join the club. We're all afraid of something in healthy and unhealthy ways. And the important thing that we have to wrestle with is what to do with our fears, because that makes all the difference. And that's why I'm so glad that the Bible gives us guidance on what to do with our fears. So last week we started looking at an ancient letter written by a Christian leader to his protege. And it was written at the end of, the Christian leader was Paul. It was written near the end of his life. As he wrote this letter, he was sitting in a Roman prison about to die for his faith. And here's a strange thing. Paul was not afraid. Paul was doing really well, and the reason wasn't because he was an extraordinary person, but because God had changed him. And he knew, we looked at this last week, he knew that he had something that nobody could take away from him. I'm sure that he struggled with fear of the actual, I'm sure that he must have wondered what it would be like to die. But he was not a man who was crippled by fear. And that's Paul. That's the guy who wrote the letter. But so far, we haven't talked about, really, about the recipient of the letter. His name was Timothy. Who was Timothy? Well, Timothy was Paul's close friend and co-worker. He called him his son in the faith. And so in 1 Thessalonians 3, he said of Timothy, he called him our brother and God's co-worker. In 1 Corinthians 4, he called him my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said this of Timothy, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, everybody else, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served me with the gospel. And so the letter we're going to look at over the next little bit is really an emotional, a very personal letter, partly because Paul is at the end of his life. At the end of your life, you just get rid of anything that is, you have things to say. Char and I were talking about her grandfather today. The last 2 weeks of his life, he really narrowed down on what matters most and said important things. And that's where Paul is right now. He's writing this letter, and because he's at the end of his life, he zeroes in on what's important. But it's also an emotional letter because he loves Timothy. Timothy is a great guy. Timothy is the kind of guy that you would want as your coworker, that we would enjoy having as part of our church. According to what Paul said, Timothy would just be the kind of guy that if he walked in the doors of our church when all this is over, we would just go, yeah, we need more people like this guy. From what we can see, Paul sent Timothy to help the church in Ephesus. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, who has got this job of providing leadership to the church in Ephesus. And here's the thing, as this letter is written, both Paul and Timothy are in tough situations. So Paul's in prison, about to die, been deserted by most of his friends. That's his tough situation. And he wasn't afraid. Think about that. You know, in prison, I would be kind of afraid, about to die, deserted by his friends. But here's Timothy in his tricky situation in Ephesus. And we're going to read in this letter that he has some tricky situations to deal with. Now, I don't know if, I'm sure all of you have been in situations full of conflict, situations where you might have to challenge people, and where you just don't know how it's gonna go. You have conversations that are gonna be difficult. That was where Timothy was at. And Timothy, it seems, was facing a bit of fear because of the task before him. And I wanna be frank, I can't blame him. Timothy faced pressures outside the church. His mentor was about to leave him and die. And so the baton is being passed to Timothy. Timothy, run, you know, go, do it. But there was pressure. Timothy knew that if Paul could die, he could die too. And then within the church, there was a clash going on. Timothy had to have some hard conversations with people within the church. He had to correct some false teaching, and to do so in a context when he was about to lose his mentor and his friend. And so Paul wrote to Timothy, a man who was facing some very real fears. Do you feel weak? Do any of you feel overwhelmed? Do any of you feel fearful? Well, this passage today is for you. Because Paul, Timothy's mentor and good friend, gives Timothy this encouragement as he faces his tough situation. And I want you to hear this, because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to hear this too. Verse 6 says this, for this reason, and you need to ask, what is this reason? And it's basically the preceding verses where Paul has described his faith. And so what he's saying is really addressed to believers. So we're welcome everybody on this call, whether you're a believer or unbeliever. You're welcome here. Today you're going to overhear what a mentor says to a younger believer who's strong in the faith. And he says, for this reason, because you have faith, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So what's he talking about here? The image is really not hard to understand. we go camping. One of the best parts about camping is lighting a fire. And, you know, you get this fire going. To get it going, you have to, you know, get kindling, maybe some paper, and then you burn the kindling and then gradually add wood on top of that. And you've got the flame going. And what you do is you blow on it to kindle that flame. Well, as the night goes on, the flame begins to die. And what you might want to do is, again, you get on your knees and you blow into it and you begin to add more wood to it. You give it the oxygen it needs to keep going. And then it can roar again. It can come to life and burst into this amazing thing. I mean, there's nothing like it when you're camping. I don't think necessarily that Paul is saying that Timothy had neglected his gift and had let it die down. But I think what he was saying is actually something that we need to do on a continual basis, which is this, especially in tough times. We need to do this in normal times, but we need to do this especially in tough times. Things naturally die. This is just the way things go. Our passion for God dies. Our relationship with God dies. Our passion to serve God dies. Unless we regularly take steps to maintain and invest in and pour into something, rekindle it, everything disintegrates. If you want something to stay the same and stay strong, you need to invest in it. It's like Andre. I mean, every week, Andre, how's it going? And he's like, man, like I miss my gym. Well, see, Andre knows that if he just sat on a couch for the duration of this while the gym is closed, his good shape would not last. He's got to rekindle that every day. He's got to, I don't know how many days a week, he's got to keep at it, because without that, it will die. And so Paul says, Timothy, rekindle the gift that God has given you. Well, what does he mean here? He says, rekindle the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There's a particular application to Timothy. This was a letter written to Timothy, but it's written to Timothy, but it was preserved as part of scripture because it has something to say to all of us. What had happened with Timothy in particular was, and we read in 1 Timothy 4 that the elders and Paul had set Timothy aside for a special role in ministry. And to formally recognize this moment, they laid their hands on him to appoint him into service. At that moment, it was like, Timothy, this is what God has called you to do. And Paul is saying to Timothy, remember that. If you don't invest in that regularly, especially in a situation where you're afraid, it's going to die. So rekindle that. Remember the special assignment that God gave you. That was Timothy. There's a special application to Timothy, but I want to look, I wish I could see you in person to tell you this. The same principle applies to all of us. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given a ministry and gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that every believer has been given a special ability, a special gift by God's grace. What is a spiritual gift? Well, it's an ability to extend God's grace and love to others that the Holy Spirit gives you. You can't earn it. You can't gain it. There's no way that you can get it on your own. There's like, you can't sign up for a course and say, I want the spiritual gift of this. It's a gift from God. You can rekindle it, but it's given by God. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. God gives every believer the gift that the Holy Spirit sovereignly wants to give. And here's the thing. Why are you gifted in a particular way? It's because the Holy Spirit chose in particular to give that gift to you because he knew that others would need it. He knew that that would bring something that the body of Christ needed. And when he gives you this gift, when you trust him, when you believe in Jesus, he enables you through the Holy Spirit so that you're able to do more through that gift than you could do with your own abilities. And so I'm looking at the list of people on here. every single one of you who've trusted Jesus Christ, God has sovereignly, through the Holy Spirit, chosen to give you a particular ability to extend his love and grace to other people. And he's chosen to give something different to each one of you. Some of you might overlap, but really, he's given you something. There's no two of us completely alike. And our job is to regularly rekindle it, to as the flame, to blow on it and get it going again. Well, how do we do this? Paul doesn't really explain how to do this, but I think it's a matter of intentionality. It's about recognizing this gift, recognizing that apart from regularly rekindling it, it's going to die out. I think it means using it. It means actually, like everything, it atrophies unless we actually use it. It means using that gift. It means praying about it, investing in it, being intentional with it. And I just want to pause here and say, what an amazing thing God does in our lives. Here's where I want to turn to everybody. I said, we're so glad you're here if you're a believer. We're glad you're here if you're not a believer, if you're investigating Christianity. But really what we talk about is every week is the amazing thing that Jesus does with ordinary people like us who basically make a mess of our lives and come to Jesus. And here's what he does. This is what he has done for all of us who've trusted him. It's what he can do for anybody here. We turn from our mess to Jesus. And Jesus looks at us with love. And instead of seeing our faults, he sees within us, simply by grace, some value. He loves us. And he removes our sins and all our junk, our shame, our sense of feeling unworthy. We are unworthy. We're right to feel those things. And Jesus looks at all of the things we've done and removes them and gives us a new identity in Jesus Christ, completely forgives our sins. And then as we looked at last week, he begins to transform us in the present. So we're not the same. Like, we change. God begins to remake us from the inside out. And not only that, one day he guarantees our future is secure, that we will reign with him, that we will be transformed, that we will finally be like him. And if that wasn't enough, I mean, that's pretty amazing. The gift of forgiveness and transformation and a guaranteed future. Here Paul says, not only does God do that, but he gives us a special ability when we become a believer in Jesus Christ. He gives us an ability empowered by the Holy Spirit to be used to extend his love and grace to others. In other words, he gives you something to do with your life so that your life matters, so that your contribution is needed. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, it is not possible that you have missed out on this. If you follow Jesus Christ, you have received a spiritual gift, and he's given you something that the rest of us need. Use it, rekindle it. I happen to fulfill a role within the church, but I'm only one of the, the Bible says that it's actually even the parts that go unnoticed that are sometimes more valuable than the parts that are noticed. So I play a role, but man, we all are ministers of this church. If you are part of this church, you have a contribution. You're vital. You're needed. God has put you within this church because this church needs the gift that he's given you. Use it for God's glory and because we need it. God intends to use your life. Now, I know some of you might think, I have nothing to offer. That actually might have been what Timothy felt. He might have felt inadequate. He might have felt unequal to the challenges before him. When Paul was about to die, it was like, man, I can't do this. There's people I need to confront within the church. I can't do this. It's very likely that Timothy was a little bit afraid because he felt like, I don't have what it takes to do this. And Paul says to Timothy, God has given you a gift. You just got to rekindle it. You've got to use it because God has given Timothy, something that the church needs. Use it. Use your gifts or you will lose them. An untended fire will die. Yes, it's easy to feel scared, to feel inadequate, but God intends to use you. And as I look at who's on this call, I want to tell you some of you are going to feel scared doing this. Some of you are going to feel, maybe all of you are going to feel inadequate, but God intends to use you. For some of you, it might be that God is calling you to step out and do something that you've never done before, and it's going to be terrifying for you. Keep going. Take your attention off yourself. Paul never says, Timothy, look deep within, look at, you know, yourself. Paul says, remember the gift God gave you. Rekindle that. It's God who gave it to you. Look to God, not to yourself. Keep stepping out, trusting God. And we're going to look in a minute at the resources God gives us as we do so. You know, for some of you, it's just going to be a matter of staying faithful. It's not going to be scary. It's just going to be a matter of showing up, of keeping going, of rekindling the flame, of not letting apathy set in, of actually staying faithful, just believing that God can use you, feeble you, ordinary you, weak you, in a way that can't be explained by your abilities. Keep using your gift. Prayerfully ask for God's help as you do it. Don't let that gift go out. As I said, I wish that we were together in person, because I would look around the room and try to look at all of you in the eye and say, this includes you. God has put you at Liberty Grace because he knew that we needed something and he gave you a gift that we need. He desires to use your life to extend his love and his grace to others. And we desperately need it. And some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know what gift I have. If that's you, I just have two pieces of advice for you. I could tell you a lot, but let me just give you two pieces of advice. First, ask around. I think actually if you say to somebody else, hey, like, can you see a gift that I have? Can you see how God uses me? If anybody knows you very well, I think I know all of you very well. It wouldn't be very hard for me to say, bang, when I see you do this, I sense God is using you in a unique way. Here's the thing. Other people see us more clearly than we see ourselves. We see ourselves like we're looking in a carnival mirror. So ask other people, because they'll quickly be able to say, I see this in you. I see the Holy Spirit moving in you when you do this. But the other thing I would say is this. The Bible never tells us to worry about figuring out what spiritual gift we have. It never once says, take this inventory or this test. It just says, serve. And here's what I've discovered. All of us have a particular bent. All of us have a particular desire. It's just something that we care about a lot. And when we do, it's like something is happening in our hearts because we've been wired that way. Wherever you feel drawn to serve is probably a reflection of where God has gifted you. And so some of you just love encouraging others. That's your gift. Fan it into flame, rekindle it. Some of you love showing mercy to others. Well, that's your gift. When you hear of somebody struggling and your heart wells up with mercy and concern for them, God has given you that as a gift that's needed. I have a pastor friend. He says he goes to the hospital to visit somebody who's sick or dying, and they see him coming in and they say, where's your wife? And if his wife isn't with them, they're just like, you can leave. Because he tries, but he's not gifted in mercy. Well, his wife comes in, and you can sense the Spirit just flowing through her. If you have the gift of mercy, we need you. Some of you have the gift of organizing. You might not think that's much of a gift. I was talking to a pastor friend this week, and he was talking about all the things that we'll have to do as a church after this coronavirus, the cleaning, the putting a plan in place to have a facility that's safe. Man, that's not me. We need your gift. If you have an organizational gift, you have a gift that's needed. Some of you naturally like to provide leadership. Some of you like to serve. I think of Harold, just how faithfully he serves. Just how when he does that, I sense the Holy Spirit just working through him. He's not just making coffee. God is flowing his love through Harold to all of us because he's so faithful to use the gift that God has given him. Some of you love to teach. And I could go on and on. Whatever it is, stir that into flame. Make sure that flame is burning brightly. And show up to church every week. Before you show up, rekindle that into flame. Ask God to use you when you show up to bless others. You can usually tell what it is because you've got a desire to do it. And other people give you the feedback that God uses you in a unique way when you do these things. Do not let fear or apathy shut that down. Let me say that again. Don't let apathy shut that down. Rekindle it. It's one of the reasons God has put you here. We need the gift God has given you. And we need it always. But Timothy was in a time of crisis, a time of crisis within the church. In times of crisis, we need it even more. And I want to look at you and say, we're in a weird time as a church. In 1500 years, probably longer, I don't think the church has ever gone through a time like this. And in a time of crisis, we need the body. And we got to figure out how to make it work, but we need whatever gift God has given you at this time. Rekindle it and use it. That's the encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy, and it's encouragement I want to give to all of you today. But as we are closing, you'll notice in verse 7 that Paul says this. He said, you know, rekindle this gift that God has given you. And then in verse 7, he says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I said earlier that fear is one of God's gifts, that it's appropriate to feel afraid sometimes, that we're not to run away from fear. But I said there is an unhealthy element of fear. And here's what Paul says when it comes to using our spiritual gifts. If you are fearful of using your gifts, that isn't from God. If you're afraid of getting coronavirus, maybe that makes sense. You got to figure out how to deal with that. You got to figure out how to deal with that and move to a healthy. If you're afraid of losing your job, maybe that's completely rational. You got to figure out. If you're afraid of using your gifts, that isn't from God. Fear is not one of the resources that God hands out with spiritual gifts. That is not something that he gives you. Here's a spiritual gift and here's a fear as you use it. Well, I was talking to a friend this week and he says every time, he's a teacher, every time I teach, I feel afraid. And I think all of us can relate. That isn't from God. That's maybe something that we carry. Maybe it's one of our internal weaknesses, part of the fall. Maybe it's even a satanic attack on us to stop us from using our gifts. But it doesn't come from God. Here's what God did give us in verse 7. Three things. Power, love, and self-control. Three things. If you need the power to serve God, he will give it. Here's the amazing thing. When you use the spiritual gift that God has given you, relying on him, you don't run out of power. He promises to empower you as you use that gift. If you need more power to serve God using your gift, he promises that. If you need love, and if you don't have love, if you have your spiritual gift and you don't have love, stay at home. It doesn't even matter. Like, never use your spiritual gift without love. But God says, I will give you all the love that you need. If you see somebody who's been given an ability by God and then been given love for God's people, it is a winning combination. And God says, I will not only give you a special ability, but I will give you love. Love for me and love for God's people. So as you use that gift, it's going to carry extra power because people will just sense your love for them. And friends, if you need discipline and self-control, God promises that as well. In other words, he gives you not only the ability, but he gives you everything you need. He gives you the power, the love, and the self-control you need to use that ability. And so I've asked you, what are you afraid of? All of us struggle with shame. All of us struggle with this feeling that maybe I'm not enough. We struggle with this feeling of, who am I? Like, we see our faults so clearly. We have this voice inside of us telling us, condemning us, telling us that what we're doing doesn't matter. And Paul looks at Timothy, who is in a situation of difficulty, maybe the situation where he was listening to these voices. And Paul looks at Timothy in the eye and he says, don't let fear get in the way. God has given you a gift so that through you, God could show his love to others. Not only has God given you a gift, Timothy, but he's given you everything you need to use that gift. He's given you power. He's given you love. He's given you self-control. And I'm about to go. I'm about to die, but don't ever lose this gift. Timothy, rekindle it. God wants to use your life to be a blessing to other people. It might be that one of the best ways to move past fear is just to keep rekindling that gift, remembering that God has put you here for a reason, that God has not made you a mistake, that God has given you an assignment. He has given you this because the church needs you, and he wants to use you to bless others. And so here's my word to you today. You're all ministers. We're not a church with one minister. You're all ministers. Overcome fear. Rekindle your gift that God has given you with the resources that God has given you. Stir up that gift, use it, and don't be fearful. God can use you, and we need you. Rekindle what God has given you, because he will use your life to make an eternal difference and make a blessing to other people. And so, Lord, please help us with this. Fear and apathy come so naturally to us. Lord, it's so easy to be shut down simply because we feel inadequate, because we feel like the challenges are too high, because this voice of condemnation and shame speaks within us and tells us that we don't matter, that you could never use somebody like us. But I thank you that you have given each of us an assignment. Lord, you've given us, each of us, something to do. You don't just call us to be forgiven, to go to heaven one day. You've given us a ministry so that you can use us to bless others. And then you give us everything we need to carry that ministry out. And so, Lord, help us to rekindle that flame. I pray for those on this call that don't know what gift God has given them. Lord, I pray they wouldn't let that hold them back. I pray that they would ask other people for feedback, that they would just start serving, that you would make it clear just that you would use them, Lord. And I pray that you would help us not to tap into our own power, but as Paul said, to tap into your power, into love for others, into self-control that you promise, so that we can carry out the assignment that you've got, that you've given us. Father, my prayer for Liberty Grace Church is that we would come out of this time of self-isolation stronger than before, because we have leaned into you during this time of difficulty, because we become a church where we're all empowered and rekindling the gift that you've given us for your glory and the good of others. Would this be so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.